You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. It is Friday Eve. Thank goodness. Another week in the books. Another week closer to the end of Donald Trump's administration. That's the way I'm looking at it these days. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it is Thursday. That means I've got my special guest co-host, Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in politics, two-time congressional candidate, Navy vet, and all-around nice guy. How you doing today, Tom?
I'm doing okay, but it's just been a week, right? I mean, it feels like, once again, another month, but it's only been a week.
Yes, there is definitely a time warp element. I don't think time has passed normally since COVID. No, I have no sense of any normal time frames at all. We got Calvin with us on the board, senior producer Jamie following along, keeping me in line. And each and every one of you, we're going to have some fun this afternoon. Got a stacked show, lots to talk about. We're also going to be joined for a brand new segment called Milwaukee as the Microcosm. What do I mean by that? Milwaukee as sort of an exemplar of things that actually may impact all of Wisconsin, but might start happening in Milwaukee, with a very special guest. His name is Jeremy Janay. He's the creator and a writer for Urban Milwaukee. He's going to join us at 3 o'clock. Really excited to have Jeremy join us. We're going to reinvigorate one of the discussions that I started earlier this week on the show about, how do we know if local government is working? So we're going to dig into that one. Yes.
Excellent.
We're going to take all of you with us. If you want to join us this show, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Tom, I have to start with, I was very sad this morning when I read that Gene Hackman and his wife had passed.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, just very sad. I'm actually, my wife and I are down here in Albuquerque. And
I was just going to say, aren't they? Yep. They were living in Santa Fe,
right? They live in Santa Fe, right. And most people don't know, but he has a restaurant. He actually has three restaurants. They're called Jinja. And we have one not very far away from where we are. And I have to admit, I've had a few Gene's Mai Tais since I've been here, which are fantastic. But yeah, we heard the news and it was just overall sadness, because what a great actor, what a great person. Some of my favorite roles, some of my favorite movies to watch. You know, I think I was watching a clip this morning from Mississippi Burning, just the passion he brought to that role. One of my favorite roles that he ever did. But my favorite movie that he's ever done is Heist. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I am familiar with Heist. Yeah. This is going to sound very cliched, but because I didn't discover the French Connection until much later in life, when I got to watch it, it was someone who was really into movies mentioned it to me. And so I sat down as an adult, I was like in my late 20s, and watched it and was just completely sucked into that. And that hat he wears that movie is so cool. I think that maybe what I do tonight, in like RIP Gene Hackman, two-time Oscar winner, sit down and watch, maybe I'll sub in Heist, maybe I'll do a twofer, Tom, watch the French Connection and Heist. One of the things that I thought was so fabulous and interesting about Gene Hackman was, one, he really truly loved acting. He was often quoted as saying he couldn't imagine doing anything else. It was literally the only thing he ever wanted to do. And he loved playing bad guys.
Yeah.
and bringing like the full character, the complexity of the bad guys. And right. The one that stands out to me, actually two really pop to the top of my mind, is Lex Luthor. He was so damn good.
He was.
As Lex Luthor in those Superman movies. Oh, right. My goodness. And yeah. Then the other one is, and I'm going to forget the character's name, but that creepy partner from The Firm.
Oh, yes.
Right. The guy that was doing the mob's dirty work. And he was so good in the movie.
I would say his best bad guy role is in Crimson Tide. Opposite Denzel Washington, right? He is
the two of them, too.
Oh, man, what a powerful movie, right? And that's the thing I was going to say about him is he made you believe that he was the person, not the character, right? Every movie I saw him in, he was still Gene Hackman. Like, you can't really change that look.
No, Gene Hackman looks like Gene Hackman.
Right. But he would just be that character. And that's why I like Heist so much, because it's like he pals around with this team, and you just could just tell they've been together for 30 years when it was a movie. So fascinating.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm going to take a note, probably check out Heist. Yeah. And if not tonight, definitely over the week. I might do a little Gene Hackman film festival. Very few duds from that man.
Yes,
most
very
of his
few.
Work. Right. Yep. Just excellent. Francis Ford Coppola posting on X, just an incredible tribute. It's always interesting to me when one legend, sort of master of his craft, effectively eulogizes another, right? Like, yes. These two men are giants in their craft. So RIP Gene Hackman, the film world losing a giant today for sure. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. And I also wanted to give a little postscript about the show that we had yesterday. I ended my show yesterday, Tom, talking about kindnesses. And kindnesses that folks have received from others, that we have given to one another. And I got just a lovely email from one of our listeners. Her name's Pamela. She lives, in Wisconsin Rapids, lifelong resident. She said her late husband, Carl, passed away in 2019. And her people in her community and folks knew about it. And she got a sympathy card just a few days before Christmas, and her husband had passed in November, with a crisp $50 bill in the card, and said, "I'm sorry for your loss. Please get something nice for yourself." No return address, no signature. Right. She had no idea who did this. She also said that coming May, someone placed a little basket of flowers for May Day, May 1st, on her doorknob. And I just wanted to share that. Thank you, Pam, for getting in touch, Pamela from Wisconsin Rapids, and sharing your story of kindnesses that you have received with us here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Tom, any thoughts on that? I mean, we have to, a little kindness to one another these days seems to be in order.
I think it helps tremendously. And, you know, one of the things I realized over and over again is that people generally are funny and they're kind. And those are, I think those are two things that we don't talk enough about, that, you know, people are hilarious. When you go online sometimes, just the way people take some politics and turn it into memes and things. I mean, it's hilarious stuff, and it's just all over the place. But the kindness part is just, it's the ability to have empathy and put yourself in someone else's shoes and just think about what they need at that point. And there's not enough of that. And, you know, I'm just glad that you had that as part of your show. But what a great piece of communication that helps.
Yes. And it's so nice to receive those stories. Just hearing people talk about kindnesses is so nice. I do find myself gravitating on occasion to the old stand-up specials that I can find online. Yes. Just because I need some humorous relief. Speaking of which, we're gonna find this, Cal, between today and tomorrow. But there is an incredible bit by Lewis Black talking about drinking in Wisconsin. I hate to bring this, but it is so gosh darn funny. We're gonna find it, Cal. We're gonna share it with everybody tomorrow for a little Friday chuckle here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I also want to plug for tomorrow. We've got our Ask Maggie segment. That's at 3 o'clock. If you've got any question at all for me, right, you email that to askmaggie@civicmedia.us or text it in on the text line. Call in. Cal will grab your questions. But easiest way is askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You're going to find that segment every Friday at 3 p.m. And then, of course, that is followed immediately by another bit of relief from all the politics. At 3:30 every Friday, we've got Terry Barr sharing what's good local and overlooked in Wisconsin.
Excellent.
Which is, again, it's a nice way to end the week, don't you think?
Right. But Maggie, how are you doing on the over-under time limit on your answers?
Oh, pretty miserably, I think you'll be unsurprised. I think I hit about every 1 out of 10, Tom.
There you go.
But, you know, how about a little something for the effort? I mean, I'm trying, right?
Trying to get them to the Mendoza line. That's excellent, right?
That's exactly right. Well, we do have to get around to the old politics, don't we now, Tom?
Yes,
we do. And we're going to start with a few quick things here. And let's take a listen to the new Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services addressing the measles outbreak yesterday in the most bizarre cabinet meeting I think a president has ever convened when asked to address, again, this measles outbreak.
At least the televised, right?
Oh, so much to unpack here. Here's RFK Jr. addressing the measles outbreak in Texas.
There are two people who have died. We're watching it, and there are about 20 people hospitalized, mainly for quarantine. We're watching it. We put out a post on it yesterday, and we're going to continue to follow it. Incidentally, there have been 4 measles outbreaks this year in this country. Last year, there were 16. So it's not unusual. We have measles outbreaks every year.
Couple of things, two, three things here. First, 2 people have not died.
Right.
One boy, young boy did. The second thing is the people that are not hospitalized for quarantine purposes.
No.
They're actually hospitalized to treat the measles. I'll address the how many outbreaks and what those actually are. But it is just stunning incompetence to me that the guy who's supposed to be like the head of our public health doesn't even have the basic facts correct. Tom, your reaction?
Well, one, not surprising.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, and this is, I think this is one of those big risks that the country's taking is we have our health in the hands of incompetency. And you're looking at bird flu, you're looking at measles, you're looking at a whole bunch of different things. I have no confidence that this administration will be able to help us if something actually happens.
I had a very sad aha moment on this very concept of competence, which you and I are going to dig into more this afternoon as well. Everybody, you're not going to want to miss 1 minute of it. I'm going to share my aha depressing moment with you when we come back. My name's Maggie Dawn. I got special guest host Tom Paulswitz with me today and each and every one of you. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in 1 moment. I'ma keep on running
cause the winner don't quit on themselves. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can find me here every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. I broadcast from 540 a.m. WAUK across southeastern Wisconsin. But of course, you can find me everywhere you are if you just download the Civic Media app for free, wherever you get your apps from. I got Tom Paulswitz with me today as my special guest co-host. We got Calvin on the board and my senior producer, Jamie, playing along with each and every one of you this afternoon. We left off just before the break, Tom, talking about RFK Jr.'s factually inaccurate comments about the measles outbreak that is occurring in Texas yesterday. And you were correctly observing that we are entering, we've gone through the looking glass where we used to be, even if you wanted to say, oh, I disagree with the experts, and we'll get to why people are doing that more and more these days.
Right.
But that you, there was at least a reliable expert in the government that you could count on to try to give you the correct information. And Tom, I had this moment today. I had heard what RFK had said, and I wanted to fact check it. And I also wanted to fact check his statements about, oh, there's 16 measles outbreaks last year, and this is a regular occurrence, nothing to see here, dismissiveness of it. And I instinctively went to the Centers for Disease Control website and then stopped myself. Because I oh my gosh, I can't rely on the US CDC anymore because it's all, it's getting put through the Trumpian propaganda lens.
Yes.
And they're scrubbing meaningful data. It was such a depressing moment. Have you had any of those? I mean, we sort of have these depressing aha moments every day, but that one, I genuinely wanted reliable information and thought, I can't trust anything on the CDC website.
Oh, and I would say the same thing for mostly all the other federal websites at this point. And here's the thing, and I keep coming back to this in my head. There are two audiences. There's the Trump audience, and then there's the rest of us. And what I'm trying to figure out is, what is the game plan for the rest of us? Because I know what the I know what the game plan for the Trump audience is, but can it just be this bad? Is it just going to be incompetence and corruption? Because at some point, don't you tank the economy, and doesn't it just end up just causing all sorts of problems that you can't come back from as an elected official? I don't know. And so, yes, when you go to the CDC, you expect some expertise. There's no expertise there anymore. The people who are who have expertise, right, because they want to cut all these people from the government. But yep. The people that have expertise are also going to leave because their jobs are going to be so much harder. Or
intolerable.
Yes.
I just have to say this personal referential sort of context here. When I talk to people about lawyering and they ask me, how do you define your like opposition? Because I was a trial lawyer, right? Like, who do you like to litigate against? And I said, the smartest lawyer around. I hate litigating against dumb, crappy, lazy lawyers that don't know their work and don't know how to clearly do their job, because it becomes impossible to actually figure out what is it that we actually disagree about it. So we can present that in unequivocally clear terms, what your side's argument is and what my side's argument. And I say that all the time, working when you are confronted with someone who is bad at their job or thinks they know more than they do, it's so terribly depressing and disengaging
and difficult. But the key there is that you have a competent arbiter. And what is also happening is those guardrails are starting to just fall away and disappear, right? So there's no one person saying, well, this is just ridiculous. Some of the press is, I will say some of the press is, but not enough. But then the flip side of that is these are people who think they're right. Like, I'm sure RFK thought what he said was correct, and he couldn't be more incorrect.
Right.
And it's flabbergasting.
You can't even get the number of people that have died correct. Like, the one thing that you think you might want to jot a note down about. Let's jump into this discussion, Tom, about the death of expertise, right?
Yeah.
Because that was one of the things that I wanted to cover today. We're going to also get around to, folks, the DEI in the age of Trump and some things that you may not know that Martin Luther King Jr. said as we round out Black History Month. But let's get into this. Tom Nichols, he's a writer for The Atlantic, put out last week an excellent piece that I have been wanting to discuss with you in particular about the death of expertise in the government. He frames it up around this discussion about DOGE because it has nothing to do with government efficiency.
Right.
And if you don't believe me, I'm just going to point you to this fact. If they have, quote, the receipts, right, if there's so much savings going on, show me where. Like, yes. Actually show me. They just pull these numbers. Oh, it's 1.5 million for this and that. Show me actually the budgets where it was being spent. Show me the evidence. If there was such evidence, you don't think they'd be broadcasting that on a live stream all day long on X? And they actually tried to do a, quote, wall of receipts last week. Doge posted online what they claimed was a wall of receipts celebrating how much it had saved by canceling federal contracts. But like within days, when reporters started asking questions, all of the biggest claimed savings, like the top five, not some of the top five, the top five biggest, all of a sudden were scrubbed, didn't exist anymore. Like that wasn't actually a thing. So show me the receipts that are real, right? It's, how are we going to know? I mean, do we just take these people's words for it?
But that's why I keep coming back to these two audiences, right? Because that first audience, that Trump audience, is going to believe it. They're like, oh, great job, right? And I heard, you know, Mike Johnson said it last night. He said, you know, we're going to find the $880 billion that is in fraud and waste. There's not $880.
No.
There isn't, right? It doesn't exist. But as long as they keep saying it over and over again. But here's the really scary thing is sometimes they don't even know the level of their own incompetence, right?
Yes.
These are people that don't have enough, they either don't have enough real world experience, so they don't have enough common, I hate to say common sense, but they don't have enough to even understand what they don't understand.
It's the Peter principle, the Dunning-Kruger effect, metastasized and exponentially blowing up. We're going to come back with my special guest, co-host Tom Paulsiewicz. We're talking about the death of expertise in our government. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked and join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. Happy Friday Eve. We're almost there. Another week in the books. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join our fine program, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I got a fine co-host with me today. His name is Tom Paulsiewicz, two-time congressional candidate, Navy vet, small business owner, and all-around gem of a guy. We're talking about the death of expertise, the attacks on expertise. And it seemed to me, even before I read Tom Nichols' article in The Atlantic, Tom, that the Elon Musk doge of it all is really the fruition of sort of a Republican decades old anti-expert movement in a lot of ways. The idea that populism or being of the people means that we have to reject and be suspicious of all experts, when in reality, don't you want experts running your government? I mean, like a democratic system of government requires experts and expertise to do the job right. And listen, everybody may have an opinion, but not all opinions are created equal.
No.
I'd prefer the expert opinion, please, and thank you very much.
Right. And here's the interesting thing, though. I think what's happened over the last 10 to 15 years is the world has gotten more complicated.
Yes.
And, you know, as Democrats have a very hard time making the complicated simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say Republicans have ignored complicated and just gone right to simple.
Right.
Right. Because it's easier because you can ignore the underlying facts or the information or anything else that's happening because people need simple. Right. It's hard to absorb it all, you know, because one of the things I've done my entire career of coaching is how do you bring it down to actionable items that help people keep moving forward? Sometimes it's very hard to do because the world is very complex and challenges are complex. But Republicans have convinced people that you don't need to know the underlying facts or information or have expertise to make things simple.
Right.
I'll just say something and therefore it's true. And if that's true, right? Because clearly, you know, the trillions of dollars we spend at the federal level, most of it is fraud and waste.
If of course it is. Yeah, right. Just right. Shut
all
it all down.
Just say that, right? And everybody goes, oh, that makes sense, right?
Because, yeah, mm-hmm,
you know, my wife and I were laughing about common sense the other day, you know, because from now on, we're just going to say, well, that's just common sense, right? and it does, it's just not true. But I think the hard part is, how do you help people understand it's more complex? There are more unintended consequences. There are more things happening than when somebody has a simple answer who doesn't have the expertise, they should be out. They should be not listened to, right? It shouldn't matter as much as somebody who has expertise. But the other thing is how do we help people understand? And how do you break things down in a way to make it more simple to comprehend, to make it actionable?
Yes. Folks, that's Tom Paulswitz. He's my special guest co-host here on Wednesdays. There are two, and we're going to go to the phones, folks, if you want to get in on this great discussion, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. There are two things that I wanted to highlight, and that is that I think a lot of people conflate experts with elites.
Yes.
And the vast majority of experts that I know actually aren't elites, right? They're not the 100 millionaires or billionaires.
Right.
These are people that have spent all their money acquiring degrees in a particular, a very highly niched area. And they're simply not elites. They're people that are drawn to a particular area of study and practice because they have a passion about it.
And they usually aren't rich because they've spent all their money learning learning and not trying to profit from it.
So that's the first thing. Experts are not the elites. They're not actually the people that I think the vast majority of Trump voters resent and are angry about. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, not only is there that conflation of elitism and expertise, which I think is born of like the don't tell me what to do a little
bit. Right.
And then at the same time, assuming that people that have an incredible amount of wealth are experts in everything. Like Elon Musk is the very embodiment of that completely irrational concept. Like, of course, he's not an expert in anything, of course, or everything.
Right.
Of course, Trump doesn't know the most of anyone about insert issue of the day. Like, right. So we're at this very weird time and we're proceeding through it at our collective peril. Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. A couple of our texters wanted to get him in. Dave from New Berlin, Macon, Tom, and I chuckle, pointing out that Marjorie Trailer Trash Green said yesterday with no sense of irony that federal employees don't deserve their checks. Okay, MTG.
Yep.
Just quite a bit.
What's your bank account, by the way, so we can stop the direct deposit?
Right. So, you mean you, a federal employee? It's too sophisticated. Too much nuance for that expert. Yeah. Steve from Milwaukee saying we need to fight for freedom, educational freedom, financial freedom, well-being, freedom from overly priced, too expensive health care, the freedom of the press. He goes on and on. I completely agree. Not rewarding criminals and grifters who are cheating people out of what they earned. 100%. Let's go to the phones. We got Jack from Merrimack on the line. Say hi to Tom. Jack, what do you have to say this afternoon?
Hello, it's Tom and Maggie. Anyone that read Project 2025 or excerpts from it or synopsis from it realized this is exactly what was promised. The Project 2025 states specifically, and it's not a direct quote, but basically they say results, all opinions, all regulations have to be in accordance with so-called conservative principles. What they actually mean is, of course, what the MAGAs want them to be. And in other words, what they're saying is, here's a result. Now, anybody that
work backwards,
that result, we're going to recognize. And we're not going to recognize anybody else.
Jack, you're 100% right. It was not just we expect you to work backwards from the result that we want. They also are instituting what is in fact litmus tests for scientists and doctors and epidemiologists and anyone that works in an expert field, that you won't get hired unless you will jimmy with the right. work, the scientific method to give us the results we want.
Yes.
Very scary. Thanks for the call, Jack from Merrimack. Cam from Appleton, say hi to Tom. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Hey, Tom and Maggie. I have a slight challenge for you because I'm actually, it's a challenge because I don't even know what your response is going to be. It's not some sort of gotcha question. I want to see you work it out in real time because
I love these.
Yeah, me too.
To this conversation. So you mentioned how there's people that have status and stuff. It doesn't mean that they necessarily have the knowledge of what they claim. If I'm doing research and reading the actual physical reports, like the 90-page boring language reports from the experts that say that our voting machines are hackable and that they're very easy to break into, but then those that are up high in Dominion or on the news or are politicians who don't even know how to convert files to PDFs claim that our elections are secure, how do I convey that to other people to get them to drop this sense that we have the most secure elections in the country? Because it's simply not true when the experts that do those tests say they're not.
It's an interesting question, Cam. Tom, I'll let you go at this one, and then I've got a couple of thoughts.
Yeah, I'll start with Cam. First off, have you ever been a poll worker?
Let me put Cam. Have you ever been a poll worker, Cam?
No, I have not been a poll worker.
Okay, so first off, I would highly recommend that you go and do a shift as a poll worker, because you will then see how this works in action. Because those machines are air-gapped. Those machines are not connected to the internet. So the starting point is when you understand how the actual votes are processed, it helps put things into more context, because understanding the process helps you understand what the risks are. And the 90-page report, I'm not sure what you're referring to, but I don't think it's written by a poll worker. So, and if you've ever read the poll worker documentation, which is binders and binders of information, it would probably give you a lot more comfort about our elections.
What do you think about that, Cam?
I think it's slightly misguided. There are ways to hide scripts that will execute like small bit flipping, which is really easy when you're dealing with votes. And this is coming from a guy that works on computer systems and will hack them for a hobby. You can hide that inside of the RAM components themselves, and the RAM components when swapped out do not.
Let me just jump in here, and because you're gonna lose half of us who don't know what you're talking about. But here's what I have to say. Isn't part of the check that every time I've ever voted, I get a printed out ballot and I can see where my votes were cast, and then I watch it get counted. And here's the other thing I'll just say. There are variations in both systems and methods from state to state and jurisdiction to jurisdiction. I would never be so bold as to say there are no vulnerabilities. There's nothing to ever look at. What I mean to say is there are instances or vulnerabilities that could exist. I don't have the technical expertise to assess that. But what you have to zoom out and look at is whether or not is the system subject to such interference that outcomes could be changed. And that's what I'm highly suspicious of. I will offer this other point, which is the cybersecurity and infrastructure security agency, who are the people that are supposed to be looking at this. If we all have, any of us have concerns about election process security, Donald Trump has basically gutted the agency and fired half of its employees.
Yes.
Like, oh, yes. The MAGA's very concerned about election integrity, except not at all. Right. Like, it's again, the smoke screen becomes clear.
Maggie, let me just tie this real quickly to what we were talking about with expertise, though. But the expertise on the ground for actually running elections and running polls is astounding. There is so much built-in understanding of the processes and the rules and what you need to pay attention to. And if something goes wrong, here's exactly what you do. That's the true expertise. And I don't think we talk about that enough, especially when we talk about elections.
And I'll also just mention this very briefly. Like, I was at the 2020 recount in Milwaukee. There were hand counts and machine counts of printed out ballots that you could verify and look at.
Right.
And there were tiny differentials, right? Tiny. And then they'd get them recounted and then it matches up now.
And then they would fix them.
Correct. Yes. In any case, I think Cam has sent me some of this information. I need to put on my thinking cap one weekend and wade into the technicalities.
Good luck, Maggie.
Yes. Wish me all the best. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you got just a little bit of time, my friend.
Yeah, this is the whole Project 2025 then is right out of Stalinism. It's Stalinist politics where science had to match what Joe Stalin said it did, and if it didn't, with his Soviet socialist thought, it was rejected. And these guys are rejecting democracy itself in line with their whatever it is. I mean, it's not even in conformity with American democracy at all. I mean, that I know enough from reading the Federalist Papers and the Madison's writings and that these guys are just rejecting democracy itself and that they want to tear down a democratic republic.
Yeah. It's a bottom line. That is what it is. Folks, we're going to take care of a little bit of business, just a wee little bit, very quick little pause. And we're going to come back with Tom Paulswitz, my special guest host today. I'm Maggie Don. You're listening to The Maggie Don Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Join us. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Don. You're listening to The Maggie Don Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm talking with my special guest host today and each and every one of you about the death of expertise, or at least the attempt to kill expertise in government that is going on right now by the Trump administration and, of course, our billionaire overlord, Elon Musk. Here's some of the departments they have made basically willy-nilly cuts to. The Department of Veterans Affairs, the FAA, and the National Reconnaissance Office. I'm not sure if you've all heard about this one. Yeah, that one's responsible for American spy satellites. Of course, that's just fire those people. We don't need to keep tabs on that.
We already have Starlink, don't we?
Yeah, we got Starlink. It's fine. The National Nuclear Safety Administration, remember that kerfuffle a couple weeks ago? Fire like three quarters.
Oops.
They're in charge of our nation's nuclear weapons stockpile. We should probably bring those people back.
Right.
Here in Wisconsin, the Capital Times reporting this week that the layoffs, the DOGE layoffs here in the state of Wisconsin are impacting dairy research as well as our state's VA hospitals. They're sloughing off staff. So, hey, if you think our agriculture is important or you want to respect our veterans and get them the care that they need here in Wisconsin, yeah, DOGE is getting rid of those things. You can all rest assured. Also this one, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They're basically doing away with the agency. It has saved consumers, and it not just saved, they have actually gone out and gotten $19.7 billion back, basically from fraudsters,
right?
On behalf of American consumers. Yeah, let's get rid of that.
Let's bring overdraft fees back, right? We need them. They're important because people need to learn fiscal responsibility, and the best way to learn it is taking away money you don't have in the first place, right?
Right.
Makes
and
all the sense.
I do have to point this out. Everybody has heard that a bunch of technologists, data scientists, computer engineers, resigned from what used to be, like, I think it was like the data something agency.
Yeah, Digital Data Service, I think it was called.
Thank you. And they turned it into Doge. They sent a letter to Trump's chief of staff. Here, I mean, this stuff is just creepy. Here's what was in the letter. On January 21st, we all completed 15-minute interviews with individuals wearing White House visitor badges who refused to identify themselves, who asked us questions about political loyalty, attempted to pit colleagues against each other, and demonstrated limited technical knowledge or ability. This process created significant security risks. On February 14th, one-third of our USDS, the data service, thank you, Tom, colleagues were indiscriminately terminated by an anonymous email. These individuals were highly skilled civil servants who were working to modernize Social Security, Veterans Services, tax filing, healthcare, disaster relief, student aid, and other critical services. Oh, that's just, it'll work out fine.
It'll work out, yep.
And then they end with this statement, which I just think is absolutely incredible. We will not use our skills as technologists to compromise core government systems, jeopardize Americans' sensitive data, or dismantle critical public services. We will not lend our expertise to carry out or legitimize Doge's actions. There was sensitive, they report in this letter again that on February 16th, that additional technical experts were fired, that there was key sensitive data that was mishandled, and that there was a breach as some of that data was posted to a public website that then had to be, and this was done by Doge personnel, and that they were dismantling critical information systems. And they go on to state, this has nothing to do with modernizing federal technology and software to maximize government efficiency and productivity. The actions of the Doge team are not compatible with the mission that we joined the United States Digital Service to carry out. I mean, oh my goodness.
Yeah, but once again, Maggie,
what
audience is going to hear that message?
This amazing audience right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You will hear it, but a whole bunch of people who need to hear it won't hear it.
We got we got a caller, Tom, if that's all right. Dick from Madison, go ahead and say hello to Tom.
Oh, so you guys aren't with finding out about 150-year-old people collecting Social Security. I'm shocked.
Which was also data available back from like 2019, something like that. It's so crazy. Yeah. Go ahead, Dick. Sorry.
The question I got for you both is this. Jobs numbers will be coming out real soon. And with all these that's going on now, what experts are they going to find to say they've created some 250 or 300,000 new jobs the first month of his administration? Who's going to pull that off?
Yeah, I would say great question, because the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I think, is now compromised. So even though the unemployment claims went up today, which was expected, but it hit its, I think, highest it's been in 6 months. But I don't have a lot of faith in the government, the Bureau of Labor Statistics information that'll be coming out over time. I think it'll take a while for that information to be corrupted. But that's the scary part, is when you can craft the data to support the narrative, then we've entered.
We're in trouble. And that is why, Tom, please contact your state and local government officials. Ask them what they are doing to replace the data collection and analytics that has been done in the past by the federal government. We can no longer rely on the feds to give us the cold, hard truth and actual reliable facts. We're going to take a brief break. We're going to come back with Jeremy Janae of Urban Milwaukee for our new segment called Milwaukee as Microcosm. We're going to talk about holding local government officials accountable and the hallmarks of truly terrible elected officials and public servants. Because there's some hallmarks. There's some consistencies.
Yes.
Keep it locked. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. News, weather, and sports are next, and then Tom and I will be back.
This is not a test. It's not a drill.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.